Straub versus BNSF, and we'll hear from Mr. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Jim Cox. I'm George Straub's lawyer. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for a rebuttal, if necessary. May it please the Court. I'm here today asking this Court to reverse the trial court's dismissal of appellant's second claim for relief, his claim under the Locomotive Inspection Act, and his fifth claim for relief under the Locomotive Safety Standards in the Code of Federal Regulations, 49 CFR 229.45.
Not 229.27?
It's a great question, Your Honor. 229.7 is a restatement of the Federal Locomotive Inspection Act, the statutory language in 49 U.S.C. 20107. An addition in 229.7 addresses the entire locomotive. 229.7 adds the word entire. Rather than getting into a debate about whether locomotive and its parts and appurtenances, as enumerated in 20107, the Locomotive Inspection Act, is there a difference between that and 229.7 promulgated by the FRA, which adds the word entire locomotive. But for the purposes of my argument today, Your Honor, our request for reversal is of the dismissal of the second claim for relief under Locomotive Inspection Act and appellant's fifth claim for relief under 229.45.
And the fifth claim deals with components, right?
Correct, Your Honor. And it's important to understand in 229.45 the general condition. This is what's called in the lingo the duty to maintain regulation. And 229.45 requires that all components on a locomotive shall be free of conditions that endanger the safety of the crew, the locomotive, or the train. And by extension, Your Honor, beginning with the case of Urey versus Thompson in 1949, the courts have extended that to a protection of the public. For example, in Herald, with the Amber Beacon case, a couple was struck at a crossing by a train that had a beacon on it, and the BNSF removed the beacon. So a logical argument, and the cases address this extensively, the purposes of the Locomotive Inspection Act and 229.45 address safety to the public as well. The trial court dismissed our Locomotive Inspection Act claim because it felt that the ability to adjust the engineer's seat is a legally unessential element of a completed locomotive and the safe operation of a locomotive. The trial court dismissed our fifth claim for relief without comment, presumably thinking that it is included in the Locomotive Inspection Act. It's clear that that is not the case. The Locomotive Inspection Act simply outlines a general standard which may be more specifically promulgated by the FRA. And that's what happened. Regs are not simply a repetition of the general standard of care under the Locomotive Inspection Act. So when the FRA in 1980 promulgated 229.45, that is a further definition by the Department of Transportation and the FRA, as authority delegated to the FRA, they promulgated 229.45.
With respect to your second claim, how do we decide what a part or appurtenance is?
The BNSF tells us that, Your Honor, through their designated 30B6 designated witness. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I respectfully submit that the trial court dismissed plaintiff's claims under a faulty and illogical analysis of the purpose and function of the seat adjustment mechanism, equating a seat adjustment mechanism to an armrest. A seat adjustment mechanism on a newer model locomotive in 2012 with an armrest on a locomotive in 1986 in the King case, disregarding three decades of ergonomic advances in safety in the seats and cab of the locomotive. She said, the trial court said, it's a logical extension of the holding in King that a armrest is a fixture or addition to the seat. I'll establish here in a minute and have through the testimony in our submission that the seat adjustment mechanism in this seat is a essential part and pertinence of the locomotive. And I'd like to digress just for a minute so the court can, I want to be sure y'all understand how this seat attaches to the locomotive. Imagine my arm in this position. My hand is the seat pad. This is what's called the seat. It attaches to the base of the seat, which attaches to what we call the tripod assembly. Attached to the tripod assembly are rollers, vertical and horizontal. They are attached here at my shoulder. They insert in the wall-mounted channel on the side of the locomotive. The locomotive engineer lifts a handle, lifts the pins out of the holes on the seat-mounted mechanism, and then the seat is able to move through 27 inches, 18 of these little pinholes. The part of the seat that actually attaches to the locomotive is part of the seat.
So we're dealing with a motion to dismiss here.
Correct.
So we're tied to what was actually pled in the complaint. And so for me, it's important to know whether you pled information in the complaint that shows that you're dealing with a part or a pertinence to a locomotive. So I'd ask you to address that now.
Surely, Your Honor. Throughout the complaint, we talk about how the seat is attached, how it's moved, that Mr. Straub was in the process of moving the seat adjusted mechanism when it hung up or stuck, causing him to injure his back.
I guess my question is, what is a part or a pertinence for purposes of this act?
Well, a part or a pertinence of a completed locomotive is the way the seat is installed in the locomotive. It is how it is attached to the locomotive.
What are you relying on for your definition of part or pertinence?
The case law, Your Honor.
Okay. Could you specifically refer to the case law and the definition of part and pertinence that we're trying to match the complaint to?
The definition, the courts have not defined part or pertinence.
I thought they did the Supreme Court did in Lunsford.
All it said was it's essential and integral.
Well,
it didn't define a specific part. It actually defined all Lunsford.
Isn't that the answer to my colleague's question? That in Lunsford they said that it is a part or a pertinence of a locomotive if it is integral or essential to the operation of the locomotive.
Yes, Your Honor. That's what Lunsford says. All Lunsford does,
right,
in addition to inserting that language. And I think to address Judge McHugh's question, none of the statute or regs say what is a part or a pertinence. We look to the common law in a case-by-case analysis.
Well, don't we look to the U.S. Supreme Court's interpretation?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Part and a pertinence. So that takes us back to Lunsford.
Correct.
Okay, so according to Lunsford, it has to be integral or essential, correct?
Correct.
So is our seat here integral or essential to the operation of the locomotive?
The seat is without question essential and integral because it is addressed by the FRA in 29 CFR 119 parens little a, where it requires that the seat be securely mounted and braced.
But that is not and you don't suggest that there was a violation of that regulation.
Only that it's implicated here, Your Honor.
Well, I don't know what you mean by implicated. There's a regulation that's inapplicable that relates to a seat. And you're saying, okay, well, I can see that regulation is inapplicable because we're not challenging the violation of the regulation that it be bolted and stabilized.
Securely mounted and braced.
Really almost contrary to that.
Right.
So I don't really understand with the fact that the that there is an inapplicable regulation that applies to a C really has to do with your argument.
Okay, let me see if I can explain it. The question is it integral and essential? Is the seat adjustment mechanism integral and essential to the safe operation of a locomotive? It is the wall mount, it is the seat adjustment mechanism that attaches the seat to the locomotive and makes it securely mounted and braced. Without the seat adjustment mechanism, the seat cannot be securely mounted or braced to the locomotive. Remember, in my example, that seat never touches the floor of the cab. It is suspended from the wall of the locomotive by the seat adjustment mechanism in the seat itself, on the tripod mechanism of the seat itself, and fits into the wall-mounted channel on the side of the locomotive through which it moves. My point is, to determine that the seat adjustment mechanism is essential and integral to the safe operation of the locomotive, you need to look at its purpose. And its purpose is to attach it and mount it securely to the locomotive. We're not arguing that the seat was not securely mounted or not braced. You're correct. What I'm arguing is, in our analysis to determine whether or not it is essential to, and integral to the safe operation of a locomotive, it is how the seat is attached and mounted securely to the locomotive.
Is that what you pled?
Well, I think...
As the purpose?
I really didn't address the purpose in the complaint, Your Honor. I think that's...
The adjustment mechanism on the engineer's seat is intended to allow the engineer to move the seat forward or backward, closer or farther from the control panel to clear the area around the seat and the cab floor and provide a safe and comfortable position for the engineer to operate the locomotive.
Correct.
That's from the complaint. I don't see anything there about that the purpose is to mount it securely to the locomotive.
Well, I'm not sure I need to plead, Your Honor, every element that the statute under which I've made the claim, its purpose or its requirements. I think pleading the statute alone is sufficient. And a description of the movement of the seat by means of the seat adjustment mechanism. I mean, if that pleading doesn't put the BNSF on notice about what our claim consists of and its awareness of 119A and the Locomotive Inspection Act and the regs, I think for purposes of giving the railroad notice of what our claim is about, that's fully sufficient.
The Eighth Circuit in Harold versus Burlington seems to take Lunsford and impose on it in terms of integral or critical, which are the terms the Supreme Court used, that it could be an effective safety device. Do you recall that case?
I do, Your Honor.
And is it your view that its safety purpose is part of how we analyze whether it's a part or a pertinence?
The Locomotive Inspection Act and the regs, Your Honor, at their heart are safety statutes designed for the safety of the locomotive engineer, his co-workers, the train, and the public. They are at their heart a safety statute. In the Code of Federal Regulations, the chapter under which 229.45 appears is Locomotive Safety Standards. At its heart, the Locomotive Inspection Act is a safety statute, just like the safety courts draw analogy between the Safety Appliance Act and the Federal Employers Liability Act. These are all safety standards, safety statutes.
And is it your position that the seat adjustment mechanism is a safety device?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I was going to address that later, but I'll address it now. The BN has said it's simply a comfort feature. And if we look at Judge Babcock's citation to ergonomics in Magdaleno, it's to assist an employee in designing his workplace so that he can work effectively and safely. Safety is an integral part of ergonomic design of cabs. And to its credit, the railroad industry and the BNSF have made significant advances over the past three decades in the ergonomic design of these locomotives, leading up to this model seat that has this wall-mounted seat adjustment mechanism to permit the seat to move through this 27 inches to accommodate locomotive engineers, male and female, of all shapes and sizes. It is clearly a safety consideration. The most important safety feature in the cab of a locomotive is the locomotive engineer. The seat must be designed to provide him or her the best opportunity to perform his or her work safely over what can be up to a 12-hour shift. The Hours of Service Act, another safety statute promulgated by Congress.
You're over time, so if you can wrap up.
Sure. Sorry, Your Honor. I think that's my argument. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. We'll hear from Mr. Cash Parker. Mr. Parker.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. I'm Cash Parker on behalf of the BNSF Railway Company. With me at council table, to my left, the Court's right, is Mr. Keith Goman, my co-counsel. The narrow legal issue before this Court is whether a locomotive seat adjustment mechanism is subject to strict liability under the Locomotive Inspection Act. Judge Arguello in the District Court properly determined as a matter of law that because the seat adjustment mechanism is neither required by federal regulation nor integral or essential to a completed locomotive, it is not subject to the LIA. But the broader issue before this Court is whether there is any limit to the draconian remedy of strict liability under the Locomotive Inspection Act. Mr. Straub would have this Court hold that there is no limit to that liability. But we know from Lunsford, the Supreme Court's decision in 1936, that not every piece of equipment that a railroad chooses to attach to a locomotive becomes subject to strict liability under the LIA.
Well, let me challenge that, Mr. Parker. Isn't it a factual issue about whether or not a particular component, for purposes of 229.45 or the LIA, is integral or essential to the safety, the safe operation of the locomotive? Isn't that intrinsically a fact issue?
Your Honor, respectfully, no, it is not a fact issue. And the District Court properly determined, looking at what was pled in the complaint and applying the Iqbal and Twombly standard, that conclusory allegations, and even in this case, the conclusory allegations did not meet the test. They did not.
How was it conclusory, what Judge McHugh recited from paragraph 12 of the complaint, where the plaintiff specifically pleaded that the ability to adjust the seat back and forth is not only helpful toward comfort, but toward safety, and to be able to clear the cab space so that the engineer can safely operate the controls. And, as in Sanford, presumably, look out the window to see his or her surroundings. Why isn't that something far more than conclusory?
Well, Your Honor, the word safe appears without the detail that you elucidated or explained about seeing out the windows or operating the controls. This complaint just says
safe. I agree
safe.
With it.
Yeah. So it is conclusory.
But
and I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It says the defective condition of the adjustment mechanism made the adjustment mechanism unsafe to operate and created a risk of injury. I mean, we're talking about a complaint. It just has to be a short and plain statement.
That is true, Your Honor, but unsafe to operate does not mean it's an integral or essential component under the Locomotive Inspection Act. And so pleading that the component was unsafe does not automatically subject it to strict liability. And so
But doesn't it create, viewing the allegations of the light most favorable to the pleader, as we customarily do on a 12b6 motion, can't a fact finder reasonably infer that the ability to adjust the seat back and forth is it integral or essential to the safe operation of the locomotive?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, no, that's not a reasonable inference. And Judge Arguello stated correctly that no amount of factual material about the seat adjustment mechanism would subject it to strict liability.
Well, let me ask about that. Let's say, and I want to, maybe this is a corollary of what Magistrate Judge Hegarty said, but I don't know who was the previous engineer, and presumably he or she may not have been the same height and may have wanted to have the seat at a particular location, but let's say it was too far back and that this particular engineer thought that he or she maybe couldn't look out the window or couldn't adjust the controls on the locomotive. Now, it seems far-fetched to say that it is beyond comprehension that the development of the facts could lead to a reasonable inference that the ability to adjust the seat to be able to control the operation of the locomotive is just a pure comfort feature as opposed to a comfort and safety feature.
Well, let me say two things in response to that question, Your Honor. First of all, there are locomotive seats in operation on the BNSF railway and presumably other railroads, although I do not know, that are a metal pole that goes to the seat pan and do not have seat adjustment mechanisms on them. And you do not see claims that those seats are unsafe.
And that's in the complaint?
That is not in the complaint,
oh,
Your Honor.
So is there any evidence, is there any case law that says that And that's not in your brief either, is it?
Your Honor, I'm not sure it's in the brief. It is in the record.
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, so it's not in your brief, it's not a complaint, and it's a 12B6 motion. Okay, so why should we entertain what you're first telling us in oral argument, that there are locomotives without a seat adjustment mechanism, and so that precludes us giving consideration to paragraph 12 of the complaint?
Because paragraph 12 of the complaint under Iqbal and Twombly, it is a conclusory allegation. And as the court, of course, knows, the purpose of Rule 12 is to test the sufficiency of the pleadings. And here we see pled over and over, it is a seat adjustment mechanism, which the court, looking at that pleading and applying the case law, determined as a matter of law, is not subject to strict liability under the Locomotive Inspection Act. Also suggests.
Well, but the court didn't even analyze whether it was a part and a pertinence. It just said it's like the King seat pads or armrests. And the issue for claim two is whether it's a part or a pertinence. And the issue for the claim five is whether it's a component. And I didn't see any discussion in anybody's brief on what a component is. Purportedly, they use different terms because they mean different things. But I guess I have some problem. I have the same concern that Judge Bacharach has, that, you know, we need a lot more information to decide whether it falls within these definitions.
There are, I believe, two points raised in Your Honor's question, and let me try to address both of them. One relates to the correct test for what is a part or a pertinence under the Locomotive Inspection Act. And the district court properly applied the Lunsford test, which is the piece of equipment in question subject to federal regulation or required by federal regulation, or is it integral or essential? And the only federal regulation that speaks to locomotive seats is 229.119A, which is a locomotive seat must be securely mounted or braced. And that regulation is not at issue here. That has been implicitly, if not explicitly, conceded in the briefing or here today.
No one thinks it is. We're under the other definition.
Yeah. So looking at what is integral or essential as a component. And the case law is not very well developed on this point, but McGinn, the Seventh Circuit in 1996, said that it must be a mechanical component essential to the operation of the locomotive. And BNSF suggests that that is the proper test that should be adopted and applied by this court. Now, the second part of your question, Judge McHugh, goes to the regulation under 229.45. And this regulation came up earlier, and so I'm sorry that it's taken me this long to circle back to that point, but let me address that head on, dealing with systems and components. Two points on 229.45. First of all, the regulation, system and component, we're talking about a part or a pertinence. So the same test should be applied. The regulation cannot expand strict liability as Congress intended and as Lunsford decided applies in limited circumstances. But secondarily, the court should look at the Northern District of Ohio's decision in the Munns case in 2008, where the Munns court considered armrests, seat backs, padding, and concluded that even under the failure to maintain claim, the seat backs and padding, that cannot be subject to strict liability. I bring up the Munns case and that holding not only in the broader context of our argument in this case, but also because in the Munns case, the plaintiff there pled almost verbatim what Mr. Straub pled in this case, which is violations of 229.7 and more specifically 229.45. So that regulation cannot expand what Congress intended.
And Munns was a 12B6 case?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Munns was the Ohio case was a 12B6 case?
Munns was decided on summary judgment, Your Honor.
Well, isn't that the distinction?
Well, Your Honor, in looking at the issue of summary judgment versus a 12B6 case, the King case is instructive on this front, at least implicitly, this Court's decision in King. The King case was a case on summary judgment, but there were much different arguments wrapped up in that case. For instance, in the claim, of course, was that armrests should have been installed on the locomotive. And part of the argument was armrests were required on all locomotives that this particular, the railroad that this particular gentleman worked for. That was part of the allegation in that case. Part of the allegation was the collective bargaining agreement with the union required armrests on all locomotives. Matters that required more factual exploration. Here, you have a legal issue.
Wait a minute. We were talking about Munns, and suddenly we switched to another case. It's Munns in Ohio, correct?
Munns is Northern District of Ohio. Yes,
and
Your Honor.
In that case, they had factual matters that were submitted regarding safety on the seat, correct?
Your Honor, in that case, yes, the plaintiff was claiming that
certain features. And the court determined that armrests, for example, are not essential to the safety based on the facts that were submitted to them, correct?
That's essentially correct, Your Honor.
All right. And what the plaintiff is asking for here is the opportunity to present facts, whether it's a summary judgment or a trial, that this device on adjustment is integral to safety. And why shouldn't he be entitled to do that?
Because in looking at the 12B6 standard and examining the allegations of the complaint, they have to be sufficient. They cannot be conclusory. And frankly, the factual material is not going to make a difference.
And you're saying that there's nothing pled about safety in the complaint?
I believe the word safe appears once in the complaint. But details like Judge Bacharach suggested about seeing out the window, operating the controls, nothing like that is pled in the complaint.
What about clearing out the cab space to safely operate the locomotive? Is that not covered in paragraph 12?
Well, paragraph 12 says it's necessary to move the seat backwards and forwards to allow the engineer to clear out the cab space. It doesn't talk in terms of safety.
Well, in fact, it does. I read it once. I'll read it again. It says the defective condition of the adjustment mechanism made the adjustment mechanism unsafe to operate and created a risk of injury. That sounds like safety.
Well, the fact that the adjustment mechanism, and BNSF does not concede this, BNSF does not concede the adjustment mechanism was defective, unsafe. So with that caveat, of course. The fact that the seat adjustment mechanism, assuming that's true for purposes of the argument, may have been unsafe or created a risk of injury, which BNSF does not concede, that is not sufficient to subject it to strict liability under the Locomotive Inspection Act.
Well, that's maybe to be decided, and that is after the plaintiff is given the opportunity to develop facts based on his general allegation about safety in paragraph 12.
But
I understand you're not conceding anything by discussing this.
Yes, yes. And really, I go back to the Lunsford case, which has not been modified or otherwise overruled by the Supreme Court since 1936, which says, look at whether the piece of equipment is covered by the covered by the federal regulations required by them, or whether it's integral or essential. And I mentioned this at the outset. What the plaintiff is urging the court to do is to adopt a test that covers any piece of equipment a railroad chooses to attach to a locomotive and makes it subject to strict liability. And it's not
229.45 was promulgated, 33 years after Lunsford?
That sounds right, Your Honor. Math's not my strong suit. That sounds
right. A number
right.
of decades.
Yeah, a number of decades afterwards. But it can't expand the scope of liability. And as I said, it's not difficult to think of extreme results. So if there's a trash can or an air freshener or a troll doll on the dash of a locomotive, is that going to be subject to strict liability?
Maybe not, but Mr. Gay testified in his deposition that if this safe seat adjustment mechanism hadn't been fixed, this locomotive would have been taken out of operation.
That's right.
So I don't know that Mr. Gay said that if a trash can had malfunctioned, that they would have taken the whole locomotive out.
Yeah.
But he said for this particular item, that we wouldn't have operated that locomotive.
Well, that is correct, Your Honor. And let me conclude, as my time is nearing its end, by saying that in that instance, whether it's the seat adjustment mechanism, if it was defective, or any of the examples I gave, if they were somehow defective and caused injury, there may be an actionable claim for ordinary FVLA negligence. It does not mean that those instances should be subject to the extreme remedy of strict liability under the Locomotive Inspection Act. We ask the Court affirm the District Court's ruling. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the appellant is out of time, but we asked you a lot of questions, so we'll give you one extra minute.
I don't need much.
I'm sorry. Did he have 38 seconds?
No,
that's
over already.
Oh, okay.
Can I still say something quickly?
I'll give you 1 minute.
Not only do I agree with you, Your Honor, in what Mr. Gay found at the authorized inspection person, the Donkey Creek responder there in Gillette, Bo Price, defendant's 30B6 witness, agreed with him. When I asked him about what Mr. Gay had testified in his deposition, that, as you said, if the seat had not been repaired, he'd pulled the locomotive out of service, put it in a trailing position where nobody has to sit in the seat. I said, I read that, and Bo Price said, makes sense.
We're looking at a motion to dismiss.
Right.
We can't look at anything that was developed on the summary, when the case proceeded on the single claim. We're stuck with just your complaint, aren't we?
Understood, Your Honor. Yes. And in our complaint, we incorporated, by reference, Mr. Straub's personal injury report, where he notes, the question on the report is, was there a defect or functional problem with the equipment or work procedures? He checked yes. It's an exhibit. And personal injury report, he said, the engineer's seat was in a position where I couldn't properly get in and sit in order to move it back so I could sweep up the mess. Those are incorporated in the complaint.
Mr. Cox, why isn't your view of 229.45 an inappropriate elaboration of the standards in the Locomotive Inspection Act and Lunsford?
It's not my position, Your Honor. It's the position of the Supreme Court in Urey versus Thompson, where they said the Locomotive Inspection Act simply outlines a general standard, which may be more specifically promulgated by the FRA. The regs are not simply a repetition of the general standard of care under the Locomotive Inspection Act, and subsequent cases say a violation of a reg results in strict liability on the railroad, leaving a claim only for damages.
Can I follow up on my colleague's question?
Surely.
In your reply brief, you argued at pages 16 and 17 that 229.45's reference to a component must mean something that is broader than a part or a pertinence. I did not see that in your opening brief. Am I correct that you waited until your reply brief to argue that a component for purposes of 229.45 is broader than a part or a pertinence?
I think, Your Honor, any reference to 229.45 anywhere in this case, in the complaint, in the briefs filed with the court, in what we filed with this court, that 225 addresses a component. A component, in my view, is a stricter definition of part or appurtenance. Probably all three are the same. Is the reg right. redundant? I don't know.
Okay.
But a component is certainly essential to the safe operation of a locomotive.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
This matter will be submitted, and I appreciate the fine advocacy of both sides. And the next case...